settle down inside. He said, if you can't take these twists and turns, man, I don't blame you.
I said, listen, and the fact that
I've traveled every road in Pennsylvania. I mean, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I've crossed boundaries, man.
Yeah, but that was just called by Gary Hart back in this really big time, you know, like 84, had an affair. Right? Was that what did him in, or was it that he lied about it? I don't know.
That was probably a little of both.
Yeah. So anyway, this is a special edition of Barnstorming PA. This is Jordy Comis wearing my Hub for Progress hat, and I'm thrilled to have on last minute two wonderful people that I've gotten to know better in the last about 2 years probably. So I'll just let them introduce themselves. Jenna, do you want to go first?
Yeah, my name's Jenna Henry. You can see on my tag, I actually work for an organization called Free the Ballot. I am actually here today in my capacity as the board secretary for the Keystone Progress Education Fund.
Awesome. Thank you. Lee?
So my name is Lisa Longo. I'm actually the event coordinator for the PA Progressive Summit that is run by Keystone Progress.
So Keystone Progress Summit is tomorrow, January 20th. Actually, I guess the pre-festivities start tonight with some karaoke. Is that right, Lee?
I'm very excited. Yes, it's a tradition at the summit, the pre-party the night before, to have karaoke. And we're carrying it on online virtually tonight at 8 o'clock.
Great. And then what time tomorrow does the official summit kick off?
So the official summit is going to kick off at 8 a.m. We have a session at 8 a.m. sharp. It's the breakfast jam, where we're actually going to have some guests talk about essential service workers with a specific emphasis on restaurant workers and how we can all help them in this continued, you know, pandemic and economy that we're stuck in for now.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to, kind of like what's our 30 or 60 second elevator pitch from Jenna or Lisa, somebody who's never been before or has never been to a virtual one of these? Like what's going to make them want to come?
I started going to the Keystone Progress Summit. I didn't even really know what it was whenever I first went. My husband was like, "Katie, when I, you know, come to this thing with me." I wasn't even really sure what it was. And whenever I got there, I just like was just kind of like blown away by the sheer number of activists and organizers and it all in one place. I mean, my favorite thing about the Keystone Progress Summit, it has always been the people that are there. It is a great place to go and be able to connect with other like-minded people who are, you know, working for progress in Pennsylvania in every different facet, right? Like there's something for everybody. If your interest is criminal justice reform, like mine is, there's something for that. If you're more interested in healthcare for all, we have something for that. There's something for racial justice organizers. There's just really something for everybody.
That's great. Lee, do you want to add to anything to that? That kind of something for everyone?
I mean, the diversity of the program has always really captured me. I've been going for about 10 years to the summits. Last year, I think, was the first year I missed in 10 years. And I think the program, as Jenna was saying, is great. And we also have some amazing special guests. We just confirmed that our new leader, Joanna McClinton, is going to join us to do the opening keynote address. And that's very exciting because she's just, you know, a historic position that she has just attained. We also have the Lieutenant Governor and Second Lady of Pennsylvania joining us to say hello and introduce some of our judicial candidates. We've invited all 9 the statewide judicial candidates to come and meet everyone. And also we have the closing keynote by Attorney General Josh Shapiro, who was just sworn in a few minutes ago. I watched that, his re-swearing in. So we have all of that, but then right in the middle of the day, we have a watch party for the actual inauguration, right? Because that's what this is all about. We're celebrating the inauguration. And then tomorrow night, we actually are having the PA People's Ball, because we normally there would be an inaugural ball. All of this is online, and we have a great lineup of music from what is it? It's Onehood. Onehood in Pittsburgh is producing all the music for us, and we've got great acts for that. And then we also have a 30-minute comedy show from nationally recognized comedian. She's been on Veep. She's been all over. It's Onehood in Pittsburgh. Yep. But anyway, so Lauren Logudici, I think is how you say her last name. She is an incredible, incredible comedian, and I'll be posting more about her on the Keystone Summit event page.
It looks like, yeah, Logudici is how I guess it. It's very Italian.
Logudici, there you go. Thank you for the Italian.
I'm just totally, I don't speak Italian. I mean, that was just a shot in the dark. Onehood, if I remember correctly, I think they're all people of color, Black-led media collective out of Pittsburgh. Yeah, I've seen some of them. That's really, I'm already signed up, but I don't know you all. I'm sort of in all scan all the time mode. So like I saw Keystone Progress. I've been, it's good. I was like, yes, I'm going. I hadn't even process some of that fun stuff. So that's really exciting. Is there also, is Fetterman speaking or did I?
Yep. The Lieutenant Governor at 3:45, the Lieutenant Governor and his wife, the Second Lady of Pennsylvania, will be doing an appearance and greeting our watchers. I don't even know. Can't say attendees, right? It's, so I'm calling it the watchers. Because it's all online.
I think you can say attendee. I mean, okay. Yeah, sure. Like, I mean, among other things, I, you know, published some scholarship on virtual worlds roughly 10 years ago. So I think we can say that online community is a thing also. It's not a substitute for in-person, but it is its own thing. I just, sorry, flashback, remember people saying like, is Second Life really a thing? And I'm like, well, it is. It's not the same, but it is a thing. So that's great.
I want to add to it being all virtual with the platform that we're using. It's not going to be on Zoom. It's going to be on something called Hopin. And this is really, really awesome technology. So we're actually able to keep the virtual summit as close to the real in-person summit as possible. So we're actually, you know, have different panels at different times. Four different panels for each time slot, and people will be able to, if you go to a point panel and you're like, I think I'd rather go check out this other one, you can just jump over to another panel. You're not locked in place. You can move about. There's a green room welcoming area where you could literally just go sit with a couple of your friends and talk if you wanted to. The judicial candidates are each going to have their own room where people can go and be able to ask them questions. So this technology has really allowed us to keep it as close to the in-person summit as possible.
I'm so glad. Go ahead, Lee.
Sorry. The one thing Jenna forgot to mention about this, that it, in really keeping with that, one of the best parts of the summit for me is always those hallway conversations. So if you run into someone, you'll see them in the chat. You can actually direct video message with them privately during the summit. So it's recreating those hallway chats. Plus we have some like private spaces where you can go, like Keystone Progress has a little room. So if during the day you and a friend just want to bop in there and have your own little, you know, meetup with a few other people, you can do that too.
I'm so glad you said that because I've used Hopin for something. I don't remember what it was. And I do remember, this is completely not being paid by Hopin. I was very impressed at the platform. I've seen at least two others, and Hopin was not this one. One of them had an analog of tables with like chairs, just like Jenna, when you and I met the one time. And it was actually kind of interesting because, you know, let's say you would see the name. So let's say Fetterman, for example, is at a table. People would literally be kind of queued up. And I thought it was interesting how they had recreated a little bit, for better and for worse, that sort of social dynamic. But Hopin, if I remember correctly, there's sort of a main stage, right? And then there's other I think they use stages, right, as an analog. And sorry, go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, no, so when you come in, you're in a reception area. And then from the reception area, we'll all go to the main stage for the Pledge of Allegiance, the National Anthem, and the Interfaith Benediction. From there, you'll go into your session rooms. And then we'll all meet again on the main stage for the inauguration, for our watch party. Then in the afternoon, you'll go back into your sessions. And then we'll all meet up again for the when the Fettermans arrive, the judicial candidates. And as Jenna said, there's expo booths. So different candidates, each of the judicial candidates has their own judicial expo booth, but then we'll also have three additional rooms for the candidates. So if you're a local candidate, we'll have a space for you, state candidate and federal. So we have three different spaces where you can also meet. That's at 5:15.
Awesome. Maybe just so we have this, are there tracks? Like, I know there's the faith one. We talked about that before I hit record. Lee or Jenna, can you go over maybe some of these? I don't know if tracks is the right word or parallel. What's the right way to explain that?
Jenna, do you want to do that or do you want
I was just looking for the, do you have the
I have it
in front of you? Yeah, I don't have it in front of me.
Let me just bring that up. So yes, there's four sessions that'll go on concurrently and there are four different tracks. So the first one we called Visualize. So it's kind of all about what is going on right now? Where do we want it to go? So the four sessions in there have to do with, the first one is bridging the racial, class, and generational divides in the fight for universal justice. Excuse me. And then the second one has to do with healthcare as a public good. We have saving journalism. And the final one is no knock and solitary confinement abuses. And there's a case study that's being worked on. So that's all in the visualized track. And then we have something on organized.
Pause. Cause I'm just trying to make, so that's very interesting. So within visualize, you actually have it structured by different sort of issue areas. Did I say that? Is that correct?
So that's the whole day in the visualized track starting at 9:15. Yep.
So what holds those together? Is it visual? It's not, is it literally visual using visual media or is it visualizing alternatives or both?
It's kind of visualizing alternatives.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I went very visual and I was picturing using visual media. Sorry. Okay. So that's one track. Great. Do you want to do the next one?
Next one is organized. And so in there, the first one, I think you'll be super interested in, it's connecting urban, rural, and suburban. So it's actually talking about what are the issues that connect us all. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a great one. The second one is on reimagining Appalachia. And I think that's going to be a really great session as well.
Can I just ask real quick, does that, because there was something that Keystone Research and some other, is it about that specific effort? Yeah. Okay, awesome.
Yes, it's actually them. They are doing the presentation. And then in the afternoon, we have an awesome panel on what is prison gerrymandering and why it matters. And the final session in that track has to do with the U.S. Census. And we have another great panel that talk about the implications of the census.
I'm so glad to hear that because the census, you know, pre-pandemic was so on the minds, I think, of lots of progressive organizers and engaged citizens. And, you know, it's one of those things where, I can only pay a lot of attention to a couple of things. And I'm like, I hope someone's got their eye on that ball. And it seems like they do. And so it's great to see that. Yeah. And is there a third track?
There is. There's a third and a fourth.
Well, let's go. Let's. It's like when we were kids and they had those bowls of 40 scoops of ice cream. You know, let's go whole hog.
Yeah. All right. Well, the next track is strategize, and the first one is a panel of some amazing women who have gotten elected, and they're actually going to talk about what happens after the campaign. I think that for a lot of people who got involved with politics, it was a bit jarring what happens next. We then have Mr. Donald Whitehead, who's the executive director on the Coalition for the Homeless, doing something on Bringing America Home Now, the Myths and Realities of Homelessness in America Today. Another great panel. And in the afternoon, we have Kadita Kenner is going to join us and do something on judicial gerrymandering and in the PA State Appellate Courts. And then we're going to close up in the afternoon in that track with a progressive policy update. We're still working on getting some legislators. I know they're super busy, so we'll see who can join us just to do a legislative update. And
awesome.
That's the strategy.
I just got a message from Dwayne that he's doing karaoke, and Dwayne is a good singer. So that's a win. It literally came
through. Yeah, I'm so excited he's doing it.
Yeah, he's an incredibly good singer. Awesome. And what's the fourth one?
The fourth one has to do with that we're 67 counties, but we come together as one Commonwealth. So we open up the morning talking about getting ready for redistricting. We have a fascinating session beyond the culture wars, the religious rights impact on law, economics, and policy in a post-Trump future. This is done by a woman named Rachel Tabachnik, and her point of view has always fascinated me. She's been at the summit pretty much every year doing something, and I love her sessions.
I know her name. Is she a scholar in Pennsylvania or just a very informed person? Do you know?
Well, she's a speaker and a writer, I believe.
Okay, right. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this is part of the faith-based track that we were talking about, because in the mm-hmm. afternoon we have really what they're considering. It's two separate sessions, but they really go well together. The first is Faith and Ally and Asset and the Progressive Movement. And it's going to talk about, see a lot from the right wing, religious right, but we don't really hear from how that is impacting the left wing. And so I think this is going to be a great session. And then the final one on that track is what is faith-based landscape in current progressive advocacy? So we're also talking about how faith informs some of our policy initiatives, which is just incredible. And yeah, I just so everybody knows, I can never decide which sessions to go to. We are recording everything. And with your ticket after the event, you will receive an invitation to our YouTube channel where you'll be able to log in and you can watch all of the sessions you didn't get to as many times as you want.
That's so great. It's also nice because I feel like sometimes I've been at these things and what's it called? PCNTV. PCNTV is there. And this was an eye opener for me because it was some kind of a thing where they were recording candidates. And I was like, ooh, could I maybe get that and add it to my YouTube channel? And they were like, no. And then I researched. It turns out they're a private company. They just sort of look like C-SPAN, but they don't actually have a commitment to sort of the public good, which I was like, oh, so good for them for an interesting business model. Not so good if they want, you know, $500 to repost something. And you're like, that's our whole budget. Are you give me a break?
No, part of your ticket, the greatest thing that we've been able to do by taking this digitally, right, is the ticket price is super reasonable and it includes everything. So you can come tonight to the karaoke, all the sessions tomorrow, the watch party, the Fetterman appearance, the Shapiro appearance, and then also come to the PA People's Inaugural Ball, get the music, concert stuff, and the comedy show, all for one ticket. It's a pretty amazing, and then still have access after the fact to the YouTube channel, so you can watch all the sessions anytime you want.
So real quick, Lisa, just curious, because I know you do a lot of campaign organizing and other things. Have you done event coordination like this before?
I have. I mean, part of my consulting firm is I've done event planning. Before I was involved politically, I was actually an event planner for nonprofits. And that's really how I got started.
Oh, awesome. Jenna, you said you've been on the board for about a year for the Keystone Progress Education Fund. Is there anything you want to share from the board's perspective about, you know, moving to virtual or the need for this or kind of what, where this fits into a sort of a strategic viewpoint? Does that make sense?
I think I see what you're getting at there. You know, from our perspective, you know, this is something that, we've done every year, right? And the whole purpose of it is to bring people together. And right now just with, you know, just with everything that's going on in the world and how, you know, divided the country is right now, you know, we really decided that, you know, doing this was really important. You know, even if we had to do it online, we did not want to, you know, just scrap this for this year because now's the time that we need to be coming together more than ever. Right. And so we kind of discussed, you know, what would it look like to do this virtually? You know, figured it can be done. And so then we started taking applications for event coordinators. And then, you know, we interviewed a few people, but Lisa just, we kind of all walked away from her interview like, well, there's really no question here about who we should hire. She just kind of was like, yeah, let's, you know, this is how you would do it, and knew exactly what we needed to do to make it happen. I think doing it around the inauguration, I forget exactly whose idea that was, but you know, we knew that, you know, this was going to be a time when, you know, people were engaged, people were going to be paying attention. And so we thought that, you know, doing this around the inauguration might be a really good way to capture some of this energy that people have, you know, just because Trump's out of office doesn't mean the work stops now. You know, this is really just the beginning. This is the starting point, not the end point. And we really want to make sure we keep people engaged and keep this energy going and keep them in the movement, right? We don't want people to be like, oh, Trump's out of office. We're done now. We're gone. We really want to keep people engaged and keep them involved. So that was kind of how the 2021 virtual summit came to be.
You know, my hot take on a little bit of that is that what we saw January 6th was not an end point. It was just, it was sort of a, you know, the crest of a wave of a right-wing social movement, which is fascist. And we don't talk about that enough. And it's been there for a long time and it crests sometimes, but it's not going away. And that's the underlying current for why, for me, when I say that Trump was not a bug of the system, but a feature, that was part of that. And so, and I actually think it's kind of energized, I think, compared to some cycles where after the election, the winter, we're a little bit like I think actually people, a lot more people, just in, from my keyhole perspective, Lisa, I know you need to hop off. I was going to ask you just kind of wrap up. Do you have a cocktail or drink recommendation for any of these social events? And, or do you have like for you, what is your can't miss thing? You know, if you can pick one of your babies to hold up.
So I don't, other than champagne for the inauguration. I've been saving a bottle of Moët Chandon that I treated myself to, and I haven't opened it yet. So it's in the fridge just waiting.
I love you dropping the liberal limousine credentials there. That's great. You know, proletarian politics, bourgeoisie taste. No, look, that's me too. You know, I want foie gras for everybody.
As far as what I can't miss, I mean, there's just so many great sessions. I'm really glad we're going to be recording them for YouTube. But for me personally, I love stand-up comedy. So I will say that the comedy portion, which is going to be around 8:30 tomorrow night, is the one thing I will definitely not be missing.
I mean, some people think that I'm a laugh without being on a stage. So, you know, there's my terrible contribution. Jenna, have you got a drink recommendation for people? Whether it doesn't have to be alcoholic, of course, you know?
I was going to say, I don't drink anymore. So I will probably be drinking, you know, like a sparkling cider rather than champagne.
Those are great.
Just as delicious with no hangover the next day. Highly recommend.
Let me give you a little, because I think you were in hospitality, weren't you, at one point?
I was a chef. I worked in the restaurant industry for almost a decade, and I actually got out of it in 2017. Ish, like when I started getting more involved in politics, which I guess it turned out it was the perfect time to leave the restaurant industry that's something that I'm really glad that we're focusing on and bringing attention to, because you know, a lot of the people that I used to work with are in dire straits right now, and they have nowhere, they don't know where to turn. You know, in their eyes, the government has completely failed them, which it has. So, you know, that's something I'm really glad that we're bringing attention to. And then also, as far as like the panels go, I think probably the single most important panel for people to attend this year is Candida's presentation on judicial gerrymandering, what they are trying to do to our courts. I mean, is an assault on all of us, an assault on democracy. So I think it's really important that people are aware of that issue.
My recommendation is going to be, you may know this, but I discovered this from a book on drinks, but I'll bet it'd be true for apple cider. Put like one grain of salt in it. It actually will really kind of heighten the flavors.
Oh,
yeah. It's kind of, yeah, okay. Kind of cool. You know, maybe two for a glass of sparkling cider. The other one is, I think the Rachel Tabachnik, I can't remember the exact name, but that was sort of tickling my interest. That was several things coming together. Oh, I think it was about faith and some of these movement issues, right?
I think so. Yeah, that sounds right. I don't actually have the schedule right in front of me.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. You know, I think that from what I know from the history of change in America, almost all of them had a deep intersection with faith and religious moments. And somewhere, I guess, in the 60s, some parts of and social change, people moved away from that, or there was sort of a, you know, if you think religiously, I mean, I run into this sometimes, that people who think religiously or come from a religious perspective are, you know, a little bit naive or foolish or dumb or something like that. And it's weird to me because, like, I mean, it's sad to me because, I mean, first of all, I am an atheist. I'm a Unitarian and an atheist, which isn't a contradiction. But I also think that, like, just we're not going to get very far if we don't sort of, you know, be open about faith, you know, and its role. And for sure, there's a whole good history of the right wing and right wing Christianity, or whatever you want to call it, being a specific thing. And the other side has been much more sort of fragmented and diverse. But, like, you know, there's this Vote Common Good is this interesting thing nationally. They had a bus going around that was a guy, Doug Padgett. I don't know if you saw him, but he's a, you know, an evangelical minister who was like, I need to talk to evangelical Christians about voting our values. Like, it wasn't even like this sort of interfaith thing. It was very specifically. And, you know, I think that's really interesting. But, you know, I don't know if you want to, riff on that? Do you come from a faith perspective?
I personally, well, so my background with faith is a little interesting. I come from a very religious family. My great grandfather was a preacher. I have an aunt that is a preacher. My grandmother was very, very religious. So I come from
church.
They're all Methodist. So I do come from that background. And you know, my great grandfather especially was just an incredible human being. He would have done anything for anybody. He always, you know, was always there to help people when they needed it. And if you needed food, he would buy it for you. So, like, that's kind of how the faith that, like, I was raised on. I personally have, I'm personally agnostic. I do not practice any kind of organized religion. But I do have a great respect for religion in that sense. I think that religion has been used for a lot of good, but, you know, in like the case of the religious right, has also been used in a negative way. So yeah, I think it's a very interesting topic to kind of like navigate, you know, because it can go either way, right? It can either be used for good or used for bad. But you know, I know quite a few religious leaders who we work with in the criminal justice reform community, for an example, whereas, you know, the religious right seems to be like very tough on crime. You know, there's a lot of the, you know, religious left that are, you know, the exact opposite, and use their faith to advocate for pardons and commutation and for, compassionate treatment. So it's definitely a very interesting topic.
Right, for sure. Excellent. Well, that's going to kind of wrap up our promo. I'm going to stop the recording.
Let's go. I've been everywhere, man. I cross the valleys, fair man. I breathe the mountain, fair man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Been to Stump Creek, Pence Creek, Pine Creek, Chambersburg, Middle Creek, Blakesley, Falls Creek, Shepherdsburg, Johnstown, Allentown, Shepherdstown, Lords Valley, Deanstown, Doylestown, Downingtown, Cherry Valley, Plain Grove, Mill Grove, Mechanics Row, Swissvale, Ferndale, Carbondale, Monongahela. Oh, well, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I cross the valleys, fair man. I beat the mountain, fair man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Oh, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I cross the valleys, fair man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man.